Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life is songs of grief with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. Stemper all the times I've tried.
Hello, and welcome to Court Appointed. I am your co-host and future law student interested in all things legal and illegal, Riley Smurl.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl, and I am just your dad. Well, I saw something this week that caught my eye. You know, being the dude that I am, and the show being based on dudes, and oh, well, also, by the way, I found out that dudette was an improper term.
It's just not proper English. Proper grammar.
You always thought a female dude was a dudette, but that's what we have on our question when you get join our group on Facebook. But apparently, I was told the proper term is dudine.
Dudine.
D-U-D-I-N-E.
Interesting.
That's a female dude is a dudine. Or maybe it's a dudine.
Doesn't have as good of a ring to it.
No, it's not a doodah doodah.
No, it's not.
Oh, the doodah day. But what another thing that caught my eye along the same line of dude is it seems that there was an attorney that went by the handle of the DWI dude. And he was a Texas lawyer, and he's been sentenced to 15 years in federal prison for falsely promising Colombian drug traffickers he'd get their charges reduced or dismissed in exchange for cash. The guy's named Jamie Balaguia, 65, was sentenced Monday to 188 months in federal prison. He was convicted after a two-week trial of conspiracy to commit money laundering, obstruction of justice, violation of the Kingpin Act. You don't want to violate the Kingpin Act. Conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to obstruct justice.
Wow.
It seems that what he would do is he would conspire with a private investigator in Florida and an attorney in Colombia to scam Colombian drug traffickers into paying attorney fees for acting as intermediaries with government officials who they said would accept bribes to dismiss criminal charges or reduce prison sentences. However, there were not any government officials being bribed. They were just pocketing all this money.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about you, but I would not want to cross Colombian drug traffickers.
No.
They probably have their own way of retaliating, and it's not telling the police they took our bribe money and won't give it back.
Yeah. It's not that.
No. So the DWI dude is probably safer going to prison than continuing in these actions. But
I'd say that's probably true.
There's another dude bites the dust.
Another dude.
But anyway, the DWI dude is not our topic for this week. No. I think you stumbled across our topic for this week.
I did. I was just scrolling through TikTok and I saw a video, a girl I follow who makes funny little short songs about stuff. And she was made a short little song about how if you have a new mysterious shake shop, like protein shake shop in your town, it might be a front for a company called Herbalife. And I was very confused because everyone in the comments was relating to this and talking about the weird shake shops they'd had pop up in their towns. And I had no idea what Herbalife was. But also, we have one opening up here in Huntington that seemed to fit all of these criteria for these mysterious shake shops. So,
well, I knew of Herbalife, but I didn't know they were still around. I remember them like 20 to 30 years ago. And I remember there was a lady in our old neighborhood that we lived in that used to sell it or try to recruit people to sell it because you get, it's one of those things where you get people to work under you as a distributor. And I know that she was constantly trying to recruit mom.
Yeah. It's in a, they call them now multi-level marketing models and MLM, but also those often are also called pyramid schemes.
Oh, like Bernie Madoff, huh?
Yeah.
He made off with the money.
Yes. So it was founded in February of 1980, so it's been around for 41 years. And they started as a corporation selling dietary supplements and powders in a multi-level marketing model. So, you know, they distribute them to people and you sell them, but then get other people to sell them and so on and so forth. But just within the past few years, they have had some considerable legal trouble.
Well, you know, the first thing that would tip me off that these guys might not be on the total up and up is they incorporated their business in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
So yes. Usually people that incorporate their business in the Cayman Islands has something to do with money.
Yes.
And not the kind you want to normally be in connection with.
And not doing the best things with the money that you're getting through that corporation.
Yeah, there's something not quite kosher going on.
Yes. Since 2016, they have paid a total of $343 million in total fines to the federal government in various settlements.
Wow.
So just in the past, you know, 4.5 years.
You've got to make a lot to be able to pay that much.
You've got to make a lot.
So evidently, even though however they were set up was probably not very legal, it was very lucrative.
Yeah, they in total revenue, they're worth $4.9 billion. So,
wow.
Yeah. A lot of money coming in. Only about 8,900 employees. So that's what happens when you get those MLMs. You have lots of people all over the place selling them, but they're not all technically employees. It's not all very legal. So they've had some issues with pyramid scheme allegations, misleading investors, all sorts of stuff like that that made them under the subject of an investigation by the FTC and the SEC.
As well, they've also had problems with the products, some of the products themselves, because they're supplements, they're not like regulated the same as like something that's a medicine or something like that.
Yeah, that's long been an issue I've found with lots of supplements and things that are advertised, especially on social media in the nowadays, is that the FDA doesn't regulate supplements. So all the things you get at Walmart that tell you they're your vitamin supplements and all those kinds of things, they're not regulated. So you don't really know or have any guarantee that what you're putting in your body is super safe. And because Herbalife is technically a dietary supplement company, they also don't have to be regulated.
Yeah, so they made claims about things. There was two things they were being dinged on. One was they were making claims about it being healthy and nutritious and doing weight loss, but they had no medical studies to back that up. And, you know, if you're going to make claims that if you've ever watched Shark Tank and you bring in a medical product, Mark Cuban will ask you first time, have you got studies to back that up?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just hearsay.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. The other thing was they actually had like lead in part one of their products, and it was causing liver damage. There were people that were actually going to the hospital with liver damage, and they were attributing it to the lead doses or lead amounts in some of the Herbalife products.
Yeah, and they also had to issue just a few years ago in 2018, they had to issue a voluntary recall for some of its protein bars because of trace amounts of undeclared fish allergen. So lots of things involved in the actual makeup of the products that have been questionable as well.
Yeah, besides lead, other products that were questionable that their supplements included were mandrake, poke root, and food grade linseed oil. So as a result of those complaints, the company had to modify its product claims and reformulate its product. And the Department of Justice in Canada, so they're an international company.
Yeah.
They're not just here in the
countries.
United States. How many?
94.
94 countries. So a lot of different countries took a swipe at them. The Department of Justice in Canada filed criminal charges against the company in 1984 for misleading medical claims in their advertisements.
And the commercial court in 2011 in Brussels, Belgium, ruled that Herbalife was an illegal pyramid scheme. So multiple countries. It was one of the people behind this was Bill Ackman, who worked for a hedge fund company. And he was actually behind one of the documentaries that's been made about Herbalife called Betting on Zero. And basically, he said that it was a sophisticated pyramid scheme. Its stock would eventually hit zero. And they did a year-long investigation into their distributors. And the majority of them lose money. and they have this big testimonial implied headline income that they get to get people to become distributors of their products. Say, this is how much money you'll make working for yourself, selling our products, all that stuff. And the chance of making that money is actually 1 in 5,000. And that the company materially overstates its distributors' retail sales and understates their recruiting rewards.
So in addition to false medical claims, medical benefit claims, and also to not good ingredients, they're also misleading people, trying to recruit them into selling this stuff by telling them they're going to make so much money and then not do it. I remember seeing something, I don't know whether it was Mary Kay or maybe it might have been Herbalife, I don't know, but some of these distributors were trying so hard because you had to be reevaluated each year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't sell so much, you would lose the level you had attained and go back down. And therefore, you had to climb back up if you still want to make money. But there was a lot of people that would work the whole year and never get a dollar from them.
Yeah.
They would never get anything. And there were some people that would say, well, I've got to buy this much to maintain my level. And you'd go and they'd have a garage full of this stuff, mm-hmm. because they had to buy it themselves to try to maintain their levels because, you know, it's like they were in so deep. Their only way was to keep going to get any money out of it. And there's a lot of people that failed because it was built to work against you.
Yeah. Well, do you remember that one we saw in that documentary? It was a true crime documentary about a woman who was murdered, but she engaged in those kind of parties. That was basically an MLM,
right?
And you would bring a certain amount of money, and then you would give all that money to the one person that had recruited you,
mm-hmm.
and then that person would give all this money they'd gotten from those people they'd recruited to the person that recruited them,
right?
And all the way up and up and up until you get what, like $5,000 or something like that.
Yeah, well, 50,000
or 50,000, maybe. So that's what it was.
Yeah,
but it didn't even have a product. It was just you bring money, and eventually you'll get money back.
Yeah, and it was like their own little community thing. There was no, I mean, the only structure to it is they just started it and they called it Giving Circle or
giving
something
circles,
like that.
Giving Circles, yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, and they just showed up and you'd hand the money to the person that recruited you. It's like $5,000 entry fee. And then you would move up each time and then get people below you. You had to recruit people in that gave it to you. And eventually you got to the top. You got 50,000. Then you went back to the bottom.
Yeah.
And somebody else moved up on top.
Yeah. So I guess at least Herbalife had a product to offer.
Well, as a matter of fact, by 1985, the company was considered the fastest growing private company in America. And despite the fact they were running into all kinds of problems with, you know, accusations of wrongdoing, bad products, not treating their distributors right and stuff. But by 1988, the company also went into launching a line of personal care products. So that included fragrances and facial cleansing products. So, and you know, and then they the whole time kept expanding their reach also into more and more countries.
Not actually, because of that reach into more and more countries was why they were the subject of the SEC investigation just 2019, just 2 years ago, because of allegations that they were making false and misleading statements about its business model and operations in China between 2012 and 2018. So they ended up having to pay $20 million to settle those charges, because I guess there's different laws and regulations about how you can model businesses in China than there are here. So they weren't following those regulations.
So to get around those regulations, they just bribed officials.
Yes, they were accused of bribing Chinese officials in order to procure sales permits and influence an investigation into Herbalife. So, and offering bribes to their media so that their media coverage would be positive in China.
Well, I guess they had the money to do that.
I guess so. But eventually, you know, they in 2019, they were told they had to pay money because they weren't following regulations on the way they constructed their business model in China. And then in 2017, they said, well, you have to change the way you have your business model in the United States as well. This was because of the FTC investigation, where they basically said it's impossible to make money, virtually impossible to make money selling Herbalife products. And in the press conference the FTC made when they opened the investigation into Herbalife, I thought this was really funny. They Herbalife responded saying, you know, they welcome the inquiry and there is lots of misinformation and they'll cooperate with the FTC. But in the press conference with the FTC and Herbalife, they were declared not necessarily not a pyramid scheme. I guess that's the legal term.
That's the best they could come up with.
Yeah.
Well, here's how bad the distributor compensation is. It said, according to official company documentation for the year 2012, 88% of distributors in the United States receive no payments from Herbalife. Now, these are their distributors that the reason they're doing this is to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They got nothing. When looking at sales leader with a down line, which made up 17% of all distributors, the bottom 30.6% receive zero yearly compensation. The next 47.5% receive $292 yearly, followed by 13.7% who received $2,216 yearly compensation, with the remaining 8.2% broken down into groups who received higher compensation. So about 8.2% of the people that were involved in this, and there was a lot of people involved, mm-hmm. received some type of significant income.
Yeah.
Everybody else was anywhere from zero, $200 or to $292, even $2,216 for a year.
That's,
you know?
Yeah.
That's not even, what, $200 a year?
Mm-hmm. So, or a month.
A month, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not even $200 a month.
Yeah.
They kept going. It also mentioned, I thought that it was interesting because West Virginia is mentioned in this article as well. It said, in a West Virginia class action suit, May v. Herbalife International et al., filed on July 16, 2003, the plaintiffs alleged that some Herbalife International distributors used pre-recorded telephone messages and auto dialers to contact prospective customers in violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. This case was resolved with Herbalife and its distributors paying $7 million into a fund for class members that are part of the suit.
Seems to be a running theme that they just pay out money in settlements rather than ever go through any full trial or investigation into their company.
And if you think about it, probably one of their strategies to doing that is the faster you pay people off and settle it, the less publicity it gets.
Yeah.
Because if it's something big and drawn out and contentious and all this kind of stuff, it gets all kinds of press.
Mm-hmm.
If you just settle it real quick as soon as it comes up and pay out some money and you're raking in all kinds of money, then that's a win-win for
that's
you.
That's true. They, when they had to pay that $200 million settlement to the FTC in 2016, they then mailed out partial refund checks to about 350,000 Herbalife distributors. So, you know, sending out money to the people that they misled.
And, you know, you would think there was one of the people in April 2003, Michael O. Johnson joined Herbalife as a CEO. And this was following a 17-year career with the Walt Disney Company. Now, I would think somebody that came from Walt Disney to Herbalife, I mean, you would think they must have, I don't know whether they were, didn't do their research.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think Disney would only hire top-notch people. I mean, maybe that's a wrong assumption, I guess, but it seems like they would.
I would have thought so.
And this guy got involved in Herbalife, and either he didn't know what he was getting into, or he knew what he was getting into, and the money just was too good to pass up.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting to me. That was kind of like the basis of the settlement with the FTC and their investigation was, you know, they talked a lot about how it was not a pyramid scheme and, like, what all that means. But basically, like, the reason it was not a good or legal marketing model under the FTC Act was because their business model was centered around incentivizing distributors to buy products and recruit others to join and buy products so they could advance the company's marketing program rather than in response to actual consumer demand. So that's interesting to me that there's like it's specifically not a fair practice under the FTC Act to create a business model that's advanced only to advance the company rather than because you're responding to demand for your product.
Right. Well, you're requiring people to buy amounts that they don't necessarily need,
right?
To maintain a certain position in there, and I guess that's what it is. It's almost it's kind of in a way a form of blackmail.
Yeah,
you know, we know you haven't gotten any money yet, but if you ever want to get any, this is what you're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people, like I say, I think you get in to a certain point, and you feel like you have no other choice but to keep chasing that dragon and hope you catch it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a garage full of Herbalife, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Other than try to get people to sell it. Yeah. Try to buy more.
Because if you're selling it, you probably know that it's got some bad products for you, so you don't want to drink all that.
No. You got to give it to somebody else.
Well, at this time, we would like permission to approach the bench.
Who is it? Do you have a motion for the court?
Yes, we do. We have our good friends back with us again, our sponsors for the show, Magic Spoon.
So I don't know about the rest of you listening. I know about Dad and I know about me, but cereal is always one of my favorite parts of being a kid, because you wake up and you get to eat something that's really just sugar, but it counts for breakfast. Because when I was, you know, a kid, I could wake up, eat my bowl of cereal. But then when I got older, I realized I had to give that up because I was just eating a lot of sugar in the morning that I really shouldn't be eating to start my day. You know, I've been trying to cut down on the carbs and the sugar and the unhealthy food. And it's really discouraging when you realize that means you basically can't eat anything anymore. So, you know, you do the protein shakes and the protein powders. But because of Magic Spoon, we finally found a delicious way to get the protein before and after workouts.
That's right. Magic Spoon contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net carbs in each serving. And a serving is only about 140 calories. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. But I'll tell you what, it's not free. Taste-free. Because it tastes very good.
Yes.
And a variety pack comes with 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. And we've had all 4, and we love all 4.
Yes, although I am partial to the fruity.
And I guess I'm most partial to the frosted.
No, that's fair. They're all good. So if you want to check out Magic Spoon, you should go to magicspoon.com/court to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code court at checkout to save $5 off your order.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So remember, get your delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/court and use the code court to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Yes, thank you, Magic Spoon.
So we've talked a lot about Herbalife, the company, but the reason I did research into this and said we should do this for an episode was because of their new business model, it seems, they have created, because they told the FTC in 2016, okay, fine, we'll change our business model because it's illegal.
Yeah, we've decided we're not going to break the law anymore since you're being mean to us and giving us a hard time. And so we're going to go to a different model, but we're going to be sneaky about it.
Yes.
We're not going to tell anybody that we're here still.
Because they got all that bad press, you know, all those settlements, all those allegations. They had to find some other way to keep selling their product and keep making money, but without anyone knowing they were eating Herbalife, consuming Herbalife.
And without pyramid scheming it anymore.
Yes. I guess as pyramid scheming it. Still a little bit iffy.
It's the new form.
Yes.
I don't know what you call it, but it's the Shake Shop scheme.
Yeah. They've made these independent smoothie shops that all have very vague names. From what I can tell, there's a pattern where it's all usually something followed by the word nutrition, whether it's like the city you're in, the street it's on, stuff like that. Very simple names, and they only provide smoothies and teas that are supposed to be these really healthy, energizing protein shakes or tasty smoothies or healthy vitamin enriched teas. They don't have business websites. They don't have like business pages, but they do have social media where they post lots of pictures of their products, but it's very unclear what's actually in them.
Yes. And they don't sell you anything directly. You can't go in and look at their menu and see, a black coffee costs $5. They won't list anything like that.
No, there are no prices, and you can't purchase an individual smoothie or cup of tea. Instead, you sign up for an individual daily membership.
And with that membership, you can come in and get so much product each day. And if you decide you want to take it with you, you carry it out the door in an unbranded cup.
But you're only allowed to carry out one single serving. Nintendo branded cup. So it's not like you can go in like you go into Starbucks and say, I'm going to get a coffee for me and a coffee for my friend and carry them both out and take them with me. No, no.
Now, the one that I looked up, it was in Lubbock, Texas, and it was called B&C Nutrition. Like you say, it usually has nutrition in the name, but the B&C is just, I guess it's just there. I don't know.
Maybe the owners or franchisees, franchisers.
Yeah. And so it said that some of the other unique aspects about this smoothie shop is the signage is in an unbranded black and white banner across the top of the store and a small sticker on the front door. Glass windows surrounding the building are tinted, making it difficult to see inside. Also, trying to find information online is difficult because they have no official website and they don't appear to own either Yelp or Google business pages. The only thing that they have posted is in Facebook about shake parties once or twice a month.
Yeah. So it was confusing to me at first why they didn't just, you know, say they're selling these smoothies and these shakes, even if you want to hide that they're made out of Herbalife supplements. But then when you realize, well, they tried to kind of mess with their business model and with their supplements so they didn't have to be approved by the FDA and, you know, so they could not be regulated and sell whatever they wanted. They did the same thing in making these clubs and retail stores because they started in 2006 when they were still when they still had their multi-level marketing model, but they started them as places where current distributors could provide samples and get other people to become distributors. So that's what they started as all these years ago when they were still under this model. But now, because they couldn't do that anymore, they still didn't want these to be retail stores because they wanted to avoid legal and regulatory hurdles like getting inspections by the FDA or getting a real business license. So they are only meant to be social gatherings, bringing people together with a focus on good nutrition. They are not retail stores or outlets, nor are they restaurants. And that's according to Herbalife's official rules document governing nutrition clubs.
So they're not giving you anything and you're not buying anything. You're just buying a membership to go to a party at the store.
Right.
Now, they started in 2006. They had like their pilot one that they started down in Mexico, the test launch. And then the Herbalife Nutrition Clubs would be a place where distributors could provide these samples of the company supplements and be a gathering place for even more lucrative offering. And that's pitching members on becoming part of the Herbalife multi-level marketing structure. So basically, they get you in with those parties and then do it. And they thought to get around the FDA, everything they had been dinged on, they put together a very strict list of rules regarding their clubs. Membership fees may not be represented as the price or cost of products offered to members or their guests for consumption. Nutrition clubs must offer their members regular opportunities to socialize, as well as frequent educational and coaching sessions, group or one-on-one, on nutrition and weight management. Non-Herbalife products may not be provided, sold, or promoted on the club premises. Carryouts must be in unbranded containers of not more than one single serving. One single serving?
Serving.
How about a serving? Sometimes I get tired of talking. Nutrition clubs must ensure the interior of the club is not visible to persons from the exterior by use of window and door coverings, and external doors must remain closed. So that's why that one we were talking about had the tinted windows. Mm-hmm. Nutrition clubs are social gatherings publicized exclusively through word of mouth and attended only by persons who are personally invited by the club operator, another independent distributor, a club member, or a customer, either through oral conversation or through conversation accompanied by the provision of a written invitation. Owners may not use the word Herbalife in the name of their club or on the exterior of the store.
So, I mean, obviously, there are just a lot of very specific rules so that these can basically be retail shops, but without technically being a retail shop.
Right.
And it is wild to me that that's legal. That because they have all these very specific rules, they can do that. And also wild to me that so many of these exist across the country and no one thinks too much of it. And no one questions, I guess, too much at least, why you can't see it from the outside, why you can't carry it out with you. Very weird.
Well, what I don't understand, they're making good money.
Mm-hmm.
Why not I mean, it's kind of like the guy who puts more effort into getting out of work than if he just actually went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
It seems to me like they've got enough money here. Why not just go legit and just sell it normally? Unless you can't make money doing it normally, but maybe you make less money, but you still make money. But they're putting so much effort into skirting the law. Just comply with it and see what happens there.
Well, it makes me feel like because they're putting that much effort into skirting the law, they know that if their products and their businesses were subject to regular inspections by the FDA, and they had to go through the process of applying for a real business license, that they might not succeed.
Well,
they might face some difficulties.
That's another thing, too, is these stores don't get like local health department inspections or anything like that.
Because they're not selling food, technically.
Right. Yeah, they're not really selling anything. So they're skirting those issues, too. But it's said that from Herbalife's perspective, the nutrition clubs have been a huge financial success. In the second quarter of their 2012 earnings call, executives disclosed that 30 to 35% of overall product purchases in the United States came from these nutrition clubs. So for that to have been brand new, that much of it comes through there, that revenue is almost pure profit because sales from clubs come with minuscule costs for corporate Herbalife. And all of the operating expenses, like product purchases, rent, utilities, supplies, and licensing fees, are shouldered by the club owners.
Yeah, which is why about 57% of nutrition club owners made no profit or lost money, according to a survey by the FTC, because they spend an average of about $8,500 opening their club. And this was actually part of the FTC's settlement and investigation into Herbalife. They argued that the nutrition clubs were predatory because they, quote, operate primarily as a tool for recruiting new members rather than as a method for profitably retailing Herbalife products. So instead of helping owners increase foot traffic to their stores, as most franchise-based quick service companies do, they place all these ridiculous restrictions on the ability for owners to leverage both online and traditional marketing tactics while creating the impression that nutrition club owners will make significant full-time or part-time income from retailing Herbalife products. So, obviously, they do not.
So instead of targeting housewives and getting them to sell their stuff and not make any money, even though they promise them they will, now they've changed it to where they're just getting people to rent stores and distributing it out of stores, and they're telling them, here's how you get around the law.
Yeah.
That even sounds worse.
Which, I mean, it's basically they're still operating in the same way that they said they weren't able to anymore after the FTC settlement. They just kind of changed how it looks, even though it's basically the same thing.
You know, if it was me, if somebody came to me about Herbalife, the first thing I would thought, first of all, I didn't even think they were still around.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that word in a long time. And so I wouldn't have thought they were still around. But if they were, the other thing I would have thought is, well, I thought that stuff was bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that stuff had bad stuff in it. And part of it was, too, where they were doing a lot of their manufacturing, it was in China. And so, you know, they don't have the same restrictions in China on the quality of the products that are coming for ingestion as we do here in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, but none of these things were being checked because they didn't come under a category, like say, as supplements.
Right.
They're not regulated by the FTC.
Yeah. And I will say it's very enticing. I know the one that popped up here recently followed as many people, I think, as they could, that they could verify lived in the Huntington area, because they followed me. They followed everyone I go to school with. And all they post are pictures of their shakes and their teas, and they look great. They look delicious. They have like candy flavored ones, and they say they're really low calorie and really high in protein. But again, they aren't open yet. They said they've been having to deal with a lot of stuff to open, and I guess this is probably why.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, if they follow me, I'm going to turn around and tell them quit following me.
Yeah, I am interested to see what happens when they actually open up. When I go in there the first time and see if they try to get me to get a membership and if I can, you know, call them out for being an Herbalife distributor.
They can't sell you anything.
No?
So that's all they can sell you is a membership and then say, all our new members get a free drink.
Yeah.
Here, what would you like?
It is, when you think about it, their teas that they advertise are all brightly colored, bright blue, bright red, bright green, but they're teas.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they're very natural and have all these good vitamins in them. but I don't think anything that's natural and has good vitamins in it comes that color. It
comes in bright colors.
Yeah, but that's because all of their products are just a certain one of their powders called Formula One, and then their flavored protein drink mixes, which is another powder, mixed with water. That's it. Just different kinds of powder mixed with water. So you really don't know what you're...
Well, yeah, it should be easy storage. You know, I mean, everything's just powder. You don't have to refrigerate
anything.
Big
tubs. I mean, I would think people would be concerned the first time they go in, and instead of seeing fruits or teas or any sort of ingredient, even like milk behind the counter, it's just tubs of powder. That would be concerning to me.
It's like when I get out my protein powder to make my shakes, and Mom's always like, I don't know how you drink that stuff.
Well, because you mix it with water. It's so gross.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
No.
What are you supposed to mix it with?
Mix it with milk.
No,
then it tastes like a real shake.
You don't drink milk after you've been working out.
It has protein in it.
What, milk does?
Yeah.
Well, a little bit.
And calcium for your bones.
Yeah, but you mix it with water. It tastes better.
It tastes better. Wow.
Yeah, mine tastes pretty good anyway. I've just gotten used to it.
You must have gotten used to it.
Well, to each your own. Que sera, sera.
I believe it's time for
Legal Briefs. I think you believe correctly.
Yes.
Legal Briefs is a part of the show where Riley has questions that she asked me to see if I was paying attention to what she said.
I do. My first question is, in their voluntary recall of their peanut butter protein bars, what was in these peanut butter protein bars that Herbalife had to recall? Because
Fish allergens.
Yes. Unknown fish allergen.
Unknown.
Or undeclared. Sorry.
Undeclared. I was going to say unknown fish allergens. That might be Subway's tuna. Remember how they did an analysis of that and found there was absolutely no fish of any kind in Subway's tuna.
Or their bread that in the UK is not technically bread.
And the question is, if the tuna is not has no fish, what the hell is it?
Okay, my last legal brief that we've talked about so far. Do you remember the name of the documentary that was this groundbreaking 2016 documentary about Herbalife and its schemes?
Was it... Betting on Zero.
It is Betting on Zero. I know you didn't remember it. I know you read it off the paper in front of you.
No, I happen to have that. I happen to have that sitting there right in front of me there. And that's the 2016 documentary, right?
Yes.
I'm going to have to find that on Netflix or somewhere.
It's on Amazon Prime. Real in-depth into all the rules about these clubs, and that's what it's mostly focused on, are the nutrition clubs and all that kind of stuff. So
if you're interested in that and finding out more about this and what these nutrition clubs are operating or opening up in your area, and you'd like to know this, that will give you good information on it.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully our information was good, too. But
I hope so. It wasn't from Herbalife, so it's probably good.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just stick to my own protein powders. At least I know where that came from.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. I mean, it might be ground up dog or something. I don't know.
They're still not regulated.
Yeah.
So.
But that's all right. I enjoy it, and it makes me feel like I'm getting something I need after I work out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's what matters.
It's the thought that counts.
I just get the tasty little protein shakes that come in little cartons from Target. Tastes like peaches and cream.
I try to stay away from those. I like to make my own.
Mm-hmm. Your own gross water protein shakes.
That's right. Water protein shakes. Step right up.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello, and welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's random thought is vaccine resistance. Do you remember a few months back when I was peeved that I couldn't get the vaccine? I wanted to get the vaccine so bad, I felt nobody cared about me and I was being left out in the cold. I got on every leftover vaccine list I could get on and told them I can be there in 15 minutes. Just call me, day or night. Finally, one of those lists came through and now I'm fully vaccinated. And things couldn't be better. And things kept getting better. Everybody was in a big rush when they finally okayed it for everybody to get the vaccine here in West Virginia, 16 and up. And everybody rushed out to get in. And then we hit Trump's wall. This is the wall that he actually built, the vaccine wall. 75% of those not wanting vaccination are Republicans. Their two main reasons they don't want to is they think they're made from aborted fetuses, so we're out there aborting babies left and right so we can make this vaccine, or COVID is a hoax. Now, somebody needs to go wake up those over 600,000 people that died and tell them this is a hoax, and they didn't really die from COVID, that it's not a real disease and it doesn't really kill you. I don't think that would work. Leaders in our country have a responsibility to lead people to make good decisions. We had a local county commissioner that was posting in Facebook and saying, well, my husband and I aren't too sure if we think that the vaccine is safe, so we haven't gotten it yet, and we kind of wonder what do other people think, because we really don't think it's very important. 98% of those that get it recover anyway. Well, what about the other 2%, the 600,000 that don't recover? Is that okay? Is that acceptable? What's the acceptable rate of death in this thing? Then the other thing they say is, well, we haven't had any studies that can really tell you anything about the long-term effects. Who's to say that in 10 years we don't start growing a third eye or growing a tail or something like that? Scientists know these things, and they will tell you that if there are any effects from a vaccine, usually you either get it right away or you get it within the first month or two. It doesn't lie dormant inside of you and 10 years later pop up and you grow that third eye. What they also seem to fail to understand is that we are all part of a society. We all have a responsibility to each other, not just ourselves. We say, well, we're not going to risk ourselves. We'll wait to see what everybody else does. That's not the way it works, folks, especially if you're a leader. Leaders should roll up their sleeves and say, let me show you this is the right thing to do. It's very disappointing to me that we have people that think differently than that. I think about all those doses available that are just sitting and vaccination centers that are either closing or cutting back because people just won't come. We talk about reaching herd immunity. Now we're having to go get the kids involved and try to vaccinate them to gain our herd immunity because there's so many adults that are resistant to it. These same resistors are also the ones complaining the most about masks. Connect the dots, you dumbass. If you get the shot, we can all quit wearing masks. That's as simple as I can make it. You can't say, I don't want to wear the mask and I don't want to get the shot. You got to do something. This isn't rocket science. This has been Tommy's Random Thought.